You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
What's happening, family, and welcome to the podcast, In the Black of My Mind. My name is Al Thomas. I'm your host, and I want you all to kick back, get you some, get comfortable, get a pillow if need be, get you some popcorn and your favorite beverage, and come on and enjoy the ride with us. Our guest today is a professional touring, recording, and teaching bassist who has had the pleasure of playing with a number of well-known artists and venues all over the place. So welcome to the podcast, one of my big brothers, Howard Cloud. How you feeling, bro?
Oh, man. Feeling great, brother. Thanks for having me, man. This is a great podcast, man.
Oh, man. I appreciate you, man. I'm so glad you agreed to do it, man.
Yes, sir.
You know, what's interesting, though, when I started putting this together, preparing for this podcast today, mm-hmm. I was saying, man, I've known you for... Dag, like half a century.
Correct.
But I don't know you, man.
Well, isn't that something, man? That's right. you know, it's a thing, man. And, you know, once things started hitting for me, you know, it took me, I mean, my growth years mm-hmm. In Stanford, man, playing, you know, in the community, playing on the outskirts, hitting around New York, you know, and going back home. Mm-hmm. You know, that was a foundation, but I got into more of the touring stuff and playing, you know, out of the United States really early.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, that's how that works. And you know, man, we've seen each other coming and going and doing all that. So, that's the way I think, life works, but I will tell you this, man. I always represent not just Connecticut, man, but Stanford, Connecticut.
Stanford, no doubt, no doubt.
And that's a big deal for me. It really is.
I know, that's right. Yeah. I've not lived in Stanford since 76,
mm-hmm.
When I left and went into the military.
Yeah.
Came out after 3 years and went to undergraduate school at Southern. Mm-hmm. But again, I still rep Stanford all the time, man.
Yes, sir.
And it's interesting because I tell people all the time about the kind of community that we grew up in, and that's not been a lot of people's experience and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, it just really, really interesting. And the transformation that you see, if I don't know when the last time you've been back to Stanford.
It's been a while. Yeah, it's been a while.
You wouldn't recognize it.
Wow.
It looks like New York City.
Right.
If you are like in a car at the top of West Main Street looking
right.
down.
Yeah.
All you could see is skyscrapers and the tall buildings all over the place,
right.
man. Just, you know, whereas before you could see none of that
right.
stuff before, you know. And the South End. They have new streets down there, man. In fact, they don't call it the South anymore. They call it Harborside, I think it is.
Oh, and, they changed it.
Oh, bro, beautiful buildings, high rise condos and luxury apartments, and you know, down there by the water, they have really nice upscale restaurants and. Yeah, nothing like the South End that we grew up in and stuff. It's just interesting. Yeah.
Well, my sisters are still there. Lulu, Louise Cloud, Dale, mm-hmm. and Dana. And they kind of fill me in, especially Lulu, man, tells me mm-hmm. down at Columbus Park, which is like a big concert venue kind
of. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy, man.
Yeah. And we opened for the Neville Brothers there. We opened for Dionne Warwick.
Oh, man.
And Chubby Checker.
Well, you know, he's still doing the twist.
The twist, bro. And I'm like, man, please. Okay. I ain't mad at you. I'm not mad at you. Now, you were born in Stamford as well?
I was born in Stamford, Connecticut, man.
Right. Born and raised in Stamford. Yeah.
Right up on Waverly Place, just outside of the village.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
which is no longer there, but right. That's another story. Yeah.
And I'm hearing about that as well.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then from there, man, right to the West Side.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a stint, a little bit of a stint on the South End.
Okay.
But the majority, man, on Ann Street, right there off the rest off the West Side between West Main and Richmond Hill, man.
Yeah,
that's where everything happened, man.
That was great.
Yeah,
I told a couple of people that that you were going to be on the podcast today, and they said, my cousin Teddy Paul. Teddy
oh
Collins.
Yes,
yeah. They said Tubby.
Oh, that's like, right.
Where did Tubby come from?
Well, you know, man, you know, I love some food as a kid, man. So that's you know,
nice.
I had to grow a little bit, but in the meantime, man, I put on a little bit of pounds, and you know that nickname stuck to me, man. So.
Yeah.
I actually use that name now. So it's Howard Tubby Cloud, and the name of my the name of the band is called Zenith.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice,
so
nice.
We had a performance probably about 3 weeks ago, man, at a great jazz venue here in Albuquerque, New Mexico called The Outpost.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
But that's how that came, and it sticks. And you know, I tell that story when I'm performing, man. And a lot of people get a kick out of that. Man.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
My nickname, you know, is Bucky.
That's right.
My father nicknamed me Bucky. My mother nicknamed me Dennis.
Oh.
Dennis the Menace. So if someone calls me Bucky.
I get that.
I know. So if somebody calls me Bucky, I know they know me. I know that, you know, they're just friends of mine. If somebody calls me Dennis, that's family. Because only family know that name. So, and those of you all that watch this podcast, don't walk up to me calling me Dennis because y'all don't know me like
that's
that.
That's right.
Y'all don't know Dennis. So, hey, man, so did you play music in school?
I did, not so much like in a school setting. Early on, though, I'll have to say I did more vocal stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I did matrical group. I did, you know... it was in middle school because I went to Turner River Middle School.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a teacher that said, hey, well, you know, I didn't match, but what is that? And man, that was my first experience, man, with listening to harmony, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
With other people singing. And that's what happened for me musically. Didn't do too much other than that in high school
mm-hmm.
Because I was working with Chuck Dudley. So I went to Chuck Dudley, and he was teaching me, you know, theory, the basic mm-hmm. theory. I mean, mm-hmm. I was, you know, it was all by ear, man, up until I met him.
Okay.
And little did I know that he was giving me charts once I got everything flowing as far as the reading and identifying chords. And I end up going out on regional tours with him with the Big Leg Bates variety show.
Right.
And I was 17, man. I had to have a chaperone.
Right, up in the Poconos and stuff?
In the Poconos. We were in Philadelphia, Pittsburgh. It was called, he called it the Hilton Circuit.
Okay.
Yeah, it was nice, man. It was great.
Oh, yeah.
It was a great deal, man. I mean, it would start off with a piano player that comes out, like a Liberace type of cat. Mm-hmm. And then from there, a comedian would come out.
Okay.
Yeah. They had dancers, and then it led up to the big band with vocals and instruments. And then after that, once everything, you know, and said, yeah, get the kid to the hotel room, man, because
right, because things are getting ready to pop off.
That's right.
Here.
That's right.
you know, you mentioned Chuck Dudley, man. It's interesting because most of the brothers and sisters that play guitar or bass in the Stanford area,
yeah,
all came through Chuck Dudley. And
of course, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk to me about Chuck. I knew him, but I didn't know him. You know what I mean? I knew him, and he knew me to speak, but that was about the extent of it.
Yeah, man. You know, it was interesting because I was under the impression that, and this same thing happened, you know, through the rest of my musical career as far as teachers were concerned, professors.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was a guitar player. So I'm like, okay. So I'm a bass player. So how are we going to gel on that? You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But he knew what was happening, man. Mm-hmm. He really, really did. The first thing, because I mean, my mom's music collection was absolutely amazing.
Wow.
And she listened to an artist, Wes Montgomery.
Well, oh man.
Right.
Oh
yeah.
Yes.
So
yeah.
When I first heard him play, that's exactly, he had that vibe. He had that Benson
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
kind of Wes Montgomery vibe.
Okay.
And I studied with him probably before I did the band thing for about 2 years.
Oh, cool.
And I was shedding, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was doing weekly. So I had to go back and I shed during the week and then come up and you know, do some Wes stuff, the thumb.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he really helped me through the blues, helped me, you know, to the 251s, all okay. that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would just, when I get together with the cats, and older musicians, I wasn't that lost. You know, I get a little lost, but I stayed on the page a little bit, but, yeah, he was a big influence of, you know, to what I am today, man.
Hmm.
Yeah. And then from there, you know, it was with the cats, man.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
I played with the family band with Cookie and
and
Doug and Flea.
Hmm.
I did that thing for a while. And then with George Green and Carl Gray and Ernie Rivers, we went off and did a thing as well. And,
okay.
DJ might be embarrassed by this, man, George Green, but
yeah,
he was like one of the guys, man, that even, you know, playing, I mean, he would give me bass lines on the lower part of the instrument. And, you know, he exposed me, man, to my first taste of harmony in the R&B funk soul thing.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And once I got that, you know, I was off and running, man. We spent a lot of time in the lab there, man, on the west side.
Mm.
And then, you know, we kind of did our thing from there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Gigi doesn't play anymore, huh?
Yeah, you know, I know that guitar has got to be around there somewhere.
Oh, man.
Yeah, yeah. I you know, and he says that, man, and I just hope, man, that he just, you know, pulls it out and, you know, does his thing. And actually what happened, man, my first bass I got from my uncle, right?
Uh-huh.
And Gigi had like a Gibson at the time, man. And we did a gig at a community center, man, down on the South End.
Mm-hmm.
Man, we packed our gear in. We both had our instruments, man. We came back. Them boys were gone.
No.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I'll never forget that.
Dang.
Yeah, that was devastating.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, that
sure.
was devastating. But, you know, we rebounded. Come on, man.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah,
you know, he had one. Mom's got me a Fender bass. That was my first. I had like a Kalamazoo bass, one of those kind of Sears silver tone kind of
okay.
thing. It did
okay.
its thing.
Uh-huh.
But then I got the real deal, man. I got a Fender bass after that. Yeah.
Do you still have it?
I don't, man. I have Fenders here.
Right, right.
I've got probably about eight instruments, man. Four
is that right?
Six string basses, yeah.
But is a Fender your weapon
Fender,
of choice?
Oh, Fender's home base, man.
Okay, you got a deal with Fender?
I wish, no, man.
Look, somebody from Fender, needs to be watching this podcast, and you need to take care of my brother, Howard Cloud. He needs an endorsement deal with Fender. All right? Y'all heard me. Yeah, yes. for real.
But as a bassist, man, I've got my jazz, my Fender jazz, and my P bass.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's the, you know, if I go into the studio, usually engineers, that's that sound that they're kind of used to.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, whether it be reggae, you know, R&B, jazz, that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Any of your family involved in music?
No, you know, man, my dad, you know, we, you know, I mean, I'm coming from a single family house, but once I got a chance to meet my dad, then I learned from that side. That's where all the musicality came.
Okay.
He played sax. His brother played keys. Another brother played drums, and another brother trombone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So they
so
had
that's that in-house band. My dad's side of the family is where I get that natural music ability.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember, I think it was Gail used to dance.
Right. And she played too.
Oh, is that right?
She played too. Yeah. I mean, she was off into more of the coffee house stuff for all those who know that term. Right. She was into like Carole King.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
James Taylor. And we formed a band early on, man, where we opened for the Ohio Players.
Really?
Come on.
Man. Wow.
Stop it. That was, oh, man.
Oh, please. That was the ultimate back then, man.
That's right. This was early on when the community center went up and they took over the school, Stephen School.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we were on that stage
many times.
Yes.
There's music still floating around in that room. So when Ohio Players came to Stanford that time, you opened for them.
Correct.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. We Chocolate Milk, I think, was the band that we opened for there, and I wasn't with them at the time, but Climax.
Oh, right.
They played for they opened for Ohio Players too.
Yeah.
So shortly thereafter, I started playing with them and played with them for a long time.
Yeah.
Up until I went in the military, but man, that center used to have all kinds of
everything. Yeah. Man.
I remember the Delphonics were there,
right.
And really.
It was just a nice experience, man.
Really,
where we grew up, man. And,
definitely.
Just on the west side. I mean, there was other things going on, but man, it supply all the musicians, man, with you know, a very, very rich foundation. I mean,
oh, no doubt. No
Marion
doubt.
Marion was up the hill.
Yeah, Marion lived three doors down from
okay,
me.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, and Richard McGee lived across the street.
Yeah.
So I would have jam sessions with both of them all the time.
Right.
Man, back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. It was all around. And, you know, I got a little bit of rock, you know, from playing in Stanford and the surrounding areas. Mm-hmm. And then we went to the fusion stuff, man. And,
okay.
And that's when a lot of stuff started taking off, man. It was really very cool.
So it was with Chuck that you basically started playing professionally?
Yes. I mean, you know, with the Peg Leg Bates variety thing, that would, you know, we went from there. And then I met a bunch of cats, which formed the Tomorrow Band. George Pavlis, Danny Picker, and Bill Cerulli. And so there was my New York connection. You know, I met a lot of guys through them, like Vicky Sue Robinson. A lot of the other. Yes, sir. And it's those connections, man. Next thing you know, man, I'm taking the last train into New York and hanging out. You know, at the Daily Planet, doing jam sessions out and about in Harlem, and just meeting the guys, man. And then, you know, it was a connection from there to go out and do my thing. And not too long after that, I did like a summer tour with Norman Connors, and then that introduced me to the islands, man, to St. Thomas, because we went to St. Thomas, and then St. Croix.
So who now? Who was with the band when you did the Norman Connors thing?
Well, Marion was with the band. Jack Burvick, Jack Jones, Robbie Ford on drums, myself on bass. That was the core unit. And you know, we flew right into St. Thomas, man, and the place was just packed.
Oh, no kidding!
Man, what a great reception that was. You know, I really enjoyed the culture immediately. And I went out, man. I was checking out the Soca Calypso guys that were there during the time that we spent there. And of course, the reggae. The reggae scene is really heavy. So I met my wife out there in St. Thomas. Long story short, I flew back in.
Don't shorten it up. Tell the story.
You know,
tell the story. Because I was just going to ask a question because I had heard some stuff of us like, yo, you had gotten stranded and stuff over
You know, there was some little sneakiness going on. You know what I mean? But the brother got skills. You know, I'm from West Side. We know how to move around. And yes, well, I met her. And end up flying to St. Thomas and just reestablishing myself and getting everything together. I went home and finished a bartending course. Check that out. All right. That was weird because I just, you know, wanted to do some bartending. I think it was a great deal just to play music and maybe make some extra money bartending. And I put those skills to work in St. Thomas, man. Working at some amazing restaurants on the waterfront. I was getting bank immediately. That was very, very cool. So, we both left and went to New York. And we lived in the Bronx. We got married in 86. And then, you know, living in New York, I played so much music, man.
Oh, I can only imagine.
Oh, man. I even had a gig, man. One of my good friends, saxophone player, said, "Yo, Cloud, yeah, man, are you available for a gig?" And he said, "Yeah, but what?" I said, "What time is it?" "It's from 12 to 4. I said, "Man, you know I got a gig, man." He said, "No, man, 12 a.m. to 4 a.m. Out on West Broadway, one of the best gigs, man."
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Brother was tired.
I'm sure.
And I did that twice a week.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I did that twice a week.
Wow.
So I would hang in town instead of going all the way back up to the Bronx, hang out with some cats, have some dinner, you know, every once in a while. Not, you know, I would go back and then catch the train and be pretty tight just to check in at home and then go and do the gig. And then they have me back home at, you know, 5 o'clock-ish. And then from there, we went back to St. Croix when our daughter was born.
Oh, okay.
So that was my broadcasting stint because I was doing voiceover work in New York.
Oh, no kidding.
At a radio station. It was called In Touch Broadcasting, which was a radio station for the visually impaired, for the blind.
Okay.
Yeah. So I would go in the morning and read for 2 hours, and then they would rebroadcast it, around 6, 5 o'clock. later that day. So I'll go in, you know, earlier on Sunday, and it rebroadcast at 5. So that set up everything, man, for when I went back to, you know, St. Croix. I worked for a local AM station, which really had me, you know, learning about the culture, man. Yeah, that was great, man. I met some amazing DJs and musicians during that time. Mm-hmm. And then I went to an urban station for 2 years. And then I went to an adult contemporary station, 5 radio stations. And I was a production director, and I also produced my own show during that time as well. So Shades of Jazz, man.
Oh, nice.
Yes,
nice,
yes. Nice. So I had to run some jazz stuff on Sundays, like big band and like some sounds of Sinatra, which was great. I learned so much from doing that. And then I had my own thing for 2 hours. And then I'd have special guests. As a matter of fact, who came on, man, from the States? Bob Baldwin.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And Bob was on the, was when I went out with Norman. That's where I met Bob.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So, and then it all happened from there, man. And ended up coming back to the States, landed in here in New Mexico. And I've been here for 20 plus years.
Now, you went directly from the islands to New Mexico?
Yeah, man.
What brought that on? I mean,
well, you know, we kind of did a little bit of research because I had an opportunity to go to Philly to do some radio stuff. Mm-hmm. And I had a good friend of mine because I was doing voice imaging for like ABC TV, some of the stations there in St. Thomas and St. Croix. And, you know, she told me, Cloud, and she was from Philly. So I love this in Philly, but man, you got to give your girl a little bit of a better, because it's a little bit of rough country, and not, you know, talking bad about Philly. But at that time, you know, we had to make that decision to do the best that we can, man, for our girl.
Right.
So we did some research here, and the schools here were amazing. Mm-hmm. So we decided to give it a shot, sight unseen, man.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. Check that out.
Okay.
Yeah, my wife was like, oh man, because it was Mountain City, no blue water, no.
So all right. That's right. Yeah,
so, yeah. My daughter and I was like, let's go, Dad.
Wow.
Yeah. So we've been here. She loves it here. She's an acrylic artist. So she's been doing some gallery stuff. She did property management for a while. So she's been in the art world now for 4 years. Our daughter is in upstate New York, just outside of Albany now.
Okay.
And my oldest, Summer, is still in Stanford.
Okay.
Yeah, she's doing her thing, man.
And, nice.
My grandson is out on the water in the Navy, man. I don't know if he's in Korea or Japan. Mm-hmm. And my granddaughter's getting ready to graduate this year from high school. So.
Wow. Yeah. Blessed man.
Come on, man.
Blessed. And highly favored.
Come on.
Yeah. Yes, bro. So now, listen, have you done a lot of tours or?
Not so much. I mean, I get calls out since I've been here. I'm playing with a steel pan player.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Frank Lido, man. This dude is ridiculous.
No kidding.
So I do an annual thing with him. Uh-huh. Right here in the city, where it's a big production. There's a dance company at a place here called the National Hispanic Cultural Center. But I also, when I get called out, I work with Joy Harjo, who is the poet. And she calls me out to do some things, and she flies me out. I've been to Alaska and, you know, all different places in Texas and New York. And all that good stuff. She was, she just stepped down maybe about a year ago from her position as the poet laureate. I was invited to Washington, D.C., man, for some groundbreaking stuff, man. So I'm going to be in the, I'm in the archives, man.
Okay.
So she was, you know, I played with her during her induction.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, that was a great gig, man. It's true. Situation. She's a native, out of, Oklahoma. And she's writing books. Her poetry is just amazing. So we would play on the smaller stuff where she would fly us out. We would play behind her poetry, and she also played sax. So And she was she does her thing. So she does the Native American, you know, her cultural thing. And then her other love is reggae. So we'd be busting out some reggae stuff as well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
Any memorable moments out on when you're out?
I just think, man, I mean, musically, there's a lot of things that go on, man, that you just never forget. But all this just comes back, man, to where I grew up, man. And, I studied with a cat, Jerry Jermont, who was the first, you know, teacher to tell me, man, that take everything, take that 360. It's just not just the music alone. All everything, your family, your friends, really affect how you play the music. And that's an important thing. And if I had to say that to any young musician who may be listening, you know, we just have a tendency, man, to just, as musicians, that's what we do. But it is all connected, man, to everything else, man.
Me growing up
on the West Side, my friends. But memorable moments, man, I would say, is I did a world music festival, man, in Anchorage, Alaska. Oh, man. It was, well, the cats that I, you know, went out and toured with were the top of the musician. But, you know, again, for me, I love learning about different cultures. Here in Mexico, it's multicultural. Yeah, it's that's what's happening. So you have... you have Native, Anglo, and Hispanic here. Now there's a you know, there's African coming here. Well, of course, African American, which is a low. I mean, I first moved here, man. I was looking for the block. It's a cloud. No, and I mean, you would see, you know, soul food restaurants and everything, but it's not like going to, you know, any, because usually here in the Southwest, everything is just spread out. It's like, it's got that, those, that California touch when you come here. But yeah, something that I'll always remember.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Is doing Anchorage, Alaska, and really meeting some amazing musicians who at that time, I met a lot of Russian musicians who were there because that's where they lived. And, and it's a big... I think, I don't know if they have an Air Force base there, but it's a military, big military facility here, there in Anchorage. So, and I was there like about a week and a half, was one of the first places where we flew in. Okay, and we had a chance, because usually we fly in, play that night.
Right.
Play the next night, play again the next night, and then fly out.
Gone. Yeah.
But here we had a chance to walk around for a couple of days, have some of that great food. And then we end up going to Fairbanks, which was cold. Yeah, they flew to Fairbanks. That's that Alaska thing.
Yeah,
got out there. We got out the airport, man, and got into a van. I said, man, this is ridiculous.
But I've only been here for a short period of time. A layover.
Where'd you go to?
Anchorage.
Okay.
For a short period of time. Well, I had a long layover in Anchorage.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so at first we said, all right, man, maybe let's get out of here. Let's go, you know, get a taxi or something. Let's get out of here. Let's go see something.
Yeah.
But I looked out there and I saw all that snow and all that. It was cold and stuff, man. It was in November. And I'm like, I ain't going. I'm gonna stay right here in the airport, man. I ain't doing that, you know, because I was on my way to Korea and stuff. Yeah. So, yeah, no, I'm good. But hopefully one day I'll get back.
Right.
Nice though.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place, man. And I don't know, man. We may take a trip on out there to Anchorage and check it out. It wasn't too bad of a flight, but I think we have more of our eyes on the Northwest right now. Just a corner that we haven't been in since living on this side of the planet.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You know, Seattle, Oregon. Yeah. There's some really nice places up there that we have. So we may get a chance to do that. But for right now, man, I have I went back to school, and I got an associate's degree, basically in teacher education. Mm-hmm. And then I got my bucket list thing out the way. I went to Berklee College of Music. I was online, graduated from there, mm-hmm. and recently with a master's in special education. So that's what I'm doing right now. I'm a special education teacher, teaching grades 3 through 5, so 3rd, 4th, and 5th grade.
Now, what was the program that you're in Berklee? What program was it?
It was called an interdisciplinary program, which was absolutely amazing. So you get a little bit of everything. I mean, you get the music stuff that the music courses and some of the things that you do but you also learn for law, international marketing, all those other skills. Mm-hmm. That you will need, man, to be a successful musician. Because a lot of that, I mean, if you're going in just for the musicianship part of it, then you got to develop those skills once you get out of there, you know, after. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This, you get it along the way. And then so you come out, man, like fully armed to really push your musical career forward.
Mm.
Yeah.
Nice.
And, you know, obviously, well, online, you know, well, first of all, it's cheaper.
You know,
brick and mortar, man, you know, that's expensive. That's an expensive gig. So,
yeah.
But I mean, the work was just as challenging, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They test you out. Once I signed up, they called me and said, hey, Cloud, look, we only have this amount of seats left. And this was for online. Mm-hmm. And we'll let you know in 2 weeks. I'm sweating, man.
Come
on, man.
Yeah.
I didn't have to audition or anything.
Uh-huh.
You know, just based on experience, which was a very cool thing. They asked me some questions, you know, about that. Mm-hmm. Usually, if you're just coming out of high school, you know, you got to get some repertoire together. And, you know, there's a, you know, faculty there, you know, and they're sitting down. You go ahead and do that. But, you know, we've been playing for a while, man. And I thought that was the absolute coolest thing. They said, you don't have to audition. It's just getting the seat. Long, you know, next thing you know, man, they called me and they said, congratulations, you've been accepted. Mm. And I got my behind kicked, man, for the next few years.
Oh, man. I would love to have gone to Berklee, man.
Yeah.
I don't know that I have the mental capacity anymore, man.
Yeah.
You know, after working in higher education for like 35 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bruh,
I get it.
I applaud you, man. Cause
I appreciate that.
I don't know that I could, man.
Yeah.
What a blessing, though.
Yeah. It was a great experience. Mm. And, you know, you take what you apply, mm-hmm. Whatever sticks, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it's about foundation. And you, mm-hmm. you know about that, Al.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
You know, you come from a good musical foundation. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, those courses just add on to what you already have.
Right.
Yeah.
And you teach too, don't you?
Not as much these days. Mm-hmm. When I first moved here, I had about 30 students.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it was, you know, across the board, man. So I had, elementary school, middle school students. I had band students from high school, and I had a couple of university students as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then, you know, adult students, man, who come in and, you know, what I found out, you know, you have to have a patience and a knack for teaching both young women and men who haven't touched, have never touched the instrument.
Right.
Yeah. So, oh, you know, a lot of guys want intermediate players. Players have been fun, but you know, it's just more. You get a more of a sense as a teacher of accomplishment to see somebody who didn't know anything.
Right.
They leave there a year later, man, and they're going in the band. You know what I mean?
They had
a chance to audition. It builds up their confidence, and they're off and running, man.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I was a little bit, you know, if you didn't do your work, man, I'll give your parents your money back, and you're going to have to get on out of here.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
how I grew up.
Right.
You know, and they know. And somebody told me, Clyde, you're going to be teaching. And I said, nah, man, not me. I'm not going to be doing any of that. I just want to be on the road and, you know, write and do that. But that's an important part because if you teach, that means you know. I'm not going to teach anybody something that I don't know how to do.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So, that's an important gig. So that was that's as far as my teaching. I don't do that as much anymore. So I'm really back on the composition level, doing a little bit of that, just finalizing my licensure stuff here at the school. Mm-hmm. And I practice every day still, man. I get up in the morning and go through my 45 minutes of practice. I'm an early riser. So, yes, sir. I've touched my instrument before I go to work, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. We play golf early in the morning.
Right.
So, you know, I'm on the golf course. When the weather's nice, I'm on the golf course, 5:45.
See, that's the best time.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, definitely, man. Yeah. But if I'm not playing golf, I don't seem to be able to get up, man. If I'm playing golf, I don't even have to. I'll set the alarm, but I'm up before the alarm goes off.
Right.
If I'm not playing, man, shoot, today I think I was in bed till 11 or something like that, man.
For me, average, I get up at like 4:30.
Really?
Sometimes at 4, but just average time is my time is like at 4:30. I gotta have. I like that time in the morning.
What time do you go to bed?
Well, here's the deal. When I get home, I do a little nappage, man.
Okay.
Take a little siesta.
Uh-huh.
That's part of, and you know, I got used to that from doing that work at school, man. So I would come home from work, and then I have to cut that computer on, man, and start doing the coursework. I tease a buddy of mine because we both do the same thing. I can power nap for a half hour, 45 minutes. I'm ready to roll, man. So that's in my deal. And I'll go to 12 sometimes or however. And my girls get on me for not sleeping enough. But weekend time, like, you know, Saturday morning, Sunday mornings, I sleep a little bit later, 7 o'clock.
Man.
Yeah, I'm bad news, man. I got issues, man.
Not at all. How did the pandemic affect you and the music?
Man, that was everything shut down here, basically. I was fortunate enough. I worked at Santa Fe at a K-8 school in Santa Fe, New Mexico, which is about an hour's drive from here.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to teach online.
Oh, okay.
So that kept some money coming on in.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the scene was concerned, it shut down, man.
Mm.
I mean, there was a lot of people getting sick. You know, I lost some good friends. With, you know, COVID and, you know, even on a national level, man, you saw what was happening.
Oh, definitely.
And it was basically, you know, the same thing here. I just kept my fingers crossed for a lot of my buddies who were just doing music.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
It was bad.
It was bad, man.
It
was no place to turn. You know, I didn't really want to listen to too much what was going on as far as the media thing, because they scare you to death, man. Come on, man.
Bro, yeah, you ain't.
I didn't want. I said, you know what? And I took a couple of shots. Mm-hmm. I, you know, got COVID a couple of times, but I didn't get rocked, you know.
Right, you know,
I just did an isolation thing, man, to stay away from family, you know, here at my home. And you know, and that's what it is. And you know, everybody encourages you to rest and get well, man.
Right, you know what I mean?
Rest and get well. I had a buddy of mine, a drummer, man, who got slammed, and he is really just coming back.
Really?
Yeah, maybe. Wow. I talked to him probably about a month and a half ago, and he was oxygen tank, all that kind of stuff. And he's a drummer, man.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
That is.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's a physical gig, man.
Yeah.
And he got nervous, man.
I'm sure.
He got really, really nervous, man. You know, panic attacks and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, just like anywhere else, man, here in the Southwest, it's slowly but surely got brand. And it's vibrant, man. We got a vibrant scene. So what happened was it brought a lot of breweries here.
Oh, okay.
Oh, man, we got breweries everywhere. You know. So there's a couple of new venues that have opened up, and of course we talked a little bit earlier about the casino scene, and even that, they weren't doing hotel stuff. They shut down, so if you were counting on that for money, that wasn't happening. And you know, that was basically, and that lasted maybe for about a year and a half, almost 2 years,
right.
Before everything. But it's back. The wheels are turning, man. I'm so happy, man.
Yeah, I know, that's right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can go out and play or just go in, because there's a lot of times I don't feel like playing. Cloud, come on up. I was like, no, man, let me just drink a little brew.
Yeah.
I'm a watchdog, man.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, let me be entertained, man.
Yeah.
And those are things you look forward to, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
But here we are, man.
Yeah.
You know, getting up in the morning, trying to each and every day, Al.
Yeah. Mercy.
Yes.
Put one foot in front of the other.
Yes, sir.
Keep going.
Yes, sir.
Give the man upstairs some thanks. Who were your role models with respect to bass?
I would have to say one was Jerry Jamont, and I told you as far as the live thing, you know, because he gave it to me, man, because I thought I was all that, man. You know, I was slapping and playing and all that, you know what I mean? But he broke me down to the essentials.
Oh, wow.
So that's where a lot of that is. I was able to grow from there. Now, I'll tell you somebody else who helped me out overall in the jazz part of it is Phil Bowler.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I studied with Phil. I studied some upright just before I left Stanford. And man, this cat gave me so many tools, man. You know, there were different things, man, that I had to get as far as technique, musicality, ear-wise. And man, he just took the time. And of course, I you know, I got a chance to see him play quite a bit.
Yeah.
And really listen to what's happening. But as far as the recording part of it, man, Larry Graham was my guy.
Yeah.
As far as, I mean, of course, technique, but his groove in space, Jaco Pastorius,
Jaco,
Verdeen White, Charlie Mingus, Ray Brown. I mean, the list goes on. And then I had a teacher, a professor at Berklee College, Anthony Vetti. And we were like, you know, like we are, same age level. But it was about the conversation, just like you and I are having. It wasn't, you know, he knew that I can play. I knew that he could play.
Right.
He would give me my assignments, and he didn't, you know, usually at Berklee, because one of the first questions I asked one of the professors was like, okay, so if someone's been playing for just a couple, maybe a year or two, and then they have is a, you know, a beginner, like intermediate and then the pro level assignments. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That they give the different students, because they're students of all ages, man. Now, you know, with everybody doing it online.
Right.
And so my boy said, now, Cloud, you know, because sometimes, man, I'm playing, I'm doing my thing. So I may take like the first level, second level. Hey, man, I completed my assignment. Oh, man. But when I had to have the one-on-one, oh, he would chew me out for doing like a level two, a level one. You know what I mean?
Right,
oh,
right,
oh,
right.
We vacationing now, huh, Cloud?
Oh, man.
So those type of experiences, man. And I have a lot of his books that I have here and still, you know, in my computers. Those some of the things that that affect. And now it's the youngsters, man. The Adrian Faroes, Mono Neon.
Oh yeah.
You know, those are the young players now. I'm getting a kick, man, out of, you know, Christian McBride.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They have so much to say, man.
Oh, exactly.
And it's not just bass. I mean, it's also keyboard players, drummers. I'm a you know, I just love players, man. Drum players, man. Drummers are just because I mean, we lock in.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And I always go back. It's funny, man. What is it? Rodell.
Rodell Cummins. Yeah, yeah.
Rodell had that fat.
Yeah, man.
That fat pocket, man.
Yeah, he had all the gigs sold up in Stanford at one point.
Rodell was
playing for everybody's band. Hell yeah,
he was the man.
He's tough.
And also, my main man from the West Side is Ernie Rivers.
Ernie,
because
those,
you know, they had different styles. You know,
right.
Rodell had that heavy kick.
Yeah, more aggressive.
That's right. Whereas Ernie had that light feel, but that funk thing was happening. And then, of course, one of the first drummers, man, that really blew my mind is Ronnie Wise. And I don't know if you remember Ronnie, man.
Yeah, oh, heck yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that, you know, he was way beyond, man, his skill set. Mm. And if I left anybody out, man, apologies. But those three kind of stick with me, man, as far as coming up and locking
Ronnie
in.
Ronnie Wise, yeah.
Yes, sir. Yeah, yes, sir.
Yeah. man.
Yeah.
I used to hook up with him when I was in the military. I was in the Army. He was in the Marines.
Okay.
And there was another brother from Stanford that was in the Air Force. So the three of us used to link up down. I was stationed in D.C.
Yeah.
We used to link up down there. I hadn't seen Ronnie. I hadn't, that was back in the day. That was in the 70s. So.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Yeah, that's going back. That was right there on the community center right there, man, down on the hill.
Yeah. The Academy of Soul, Generation Gap, I guess, over there where Dutchess used to be at.
Oh, right.
Downtown Stanford. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. They had I'm trying to think. Oh,
what was that
Street
place?
Corner Symphony with Roy.
Bass player?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It was Hanky, too, right? Remember Hanky, the bass player?
No.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. And I
Larry Johnson.
Yes, right.
Played bass.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Larry.
Yeah.
Had the Butch Mason, his cousin Heavy Mason on saxophones. And,
You're going back, bro.
Oh, man. Wow. Yeah.
I can't think of the name of that place, though. That was right next to Curly's, which I hear is still there.
Yeah, that was
right. You know that parking lot there, and then you go downstairs.
Right. That was at one point it was Academy of Soul.
But it was
another time it was Soul Generation,
something
like that.
Like that. Well, that's where we cut our teeth down there.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah.
Herman
yeah,
Lindbergh,
so I was a little bit young, so I had to sneak in there and stuff.
Oh yeah. No man, now we were. Everybody had a fro back then.
Exactly. Exactly.
That was a great scene, man. That's where we cut our teeth.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we saw everybody's music. You know, whoever's band was there, we go and support them, and vice. If we played, you know, they would come on down and support us. That was a great scene, man.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because I was telling someone not too long ago that we used to have these battles of the bands in Stanford back in the day. And I remember being in one at West Hill, and there was, there's probably 13, 14 bands on this battle of the bands.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's 13, 14 bands in Connecticut anymore.
Right.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Same. Yeah. I think technology, and of course, you know, how things move on, man.
Right, right.
You know, I learned a lot about that again at Berkeley and then at any other institution, man. You know, you're studying with 20-somethings, 30-somethings, and you get a different perspective.
No, definitely.
And it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, it goes the other way around. But that's, you know, that's how that go. And I hear a lot of musicians here that have been back, you know, during our time. And, you know, they talk about the days but, you know, that technology is something else, man. It's absolutely amazing.
Definitely.
I mean, my bass rig now is so light.
I'm sure.
Cats be mad. You know, I used to have to hump like a 215 with a big old heavy head, you know, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yep.
Now I pick up this same thing and it has the same power. One hand, you know, something of a base a head that I can put over my shoulder and I'm off and running. Man.
Right, right.
You know.
Yeah. I'm the keeper of the PA system.
Oh, you are.
So
for you.
Man, yeah, but you're talking about I had all of this heavy JBL equipment and stuff. The 18 inch bass bins and you know a 15 on the tops and stuff, and then these heavy amps and all of the outboard gear and man, I traded all that stuff in, and now I got one bass bin, powered bass bin that's 3,000 watts.
Yeah.
And I got two 12 inch for
your powered
top,
powered
that are 2600 watts each.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and
it's
I got a couple powered monitors and stuff.
Yeah.
And then my QSC mixer with all of the effects built into it and stuff, you know, digital mixer and stuff. You know, so I, you know, before it take, you know, two, three people to carry all that stuff. Now, man, I just throw that stuff in the back of my car
and you're off and running.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that, and again, that's how it moves. And, you know, it's going to keep moving. I mean, things, you know, I don't know if you go to the NAMM thing.
Shows. I keep saying I'm going.
NAMM is a great thing. But you know, they have the summer NAMM and then of course winter NAMM. And in between those, which is NAMM for all those, it's kind of like a merchandising show for new instruments that are coming out and all that good stuff. But it's the technologies have changed. 6 months, you got something, you can't keep up with that.
Right.
You know what I mean? You just can't. You'd be broke, man.
Oh, so, no doubt. No doubt.
That's how things go, man. That's the way it is. But like I said, Al, I'm enjoying the life, family, playing lots of music, and just enjoying everything.
Nice. That's a beautiful thing.
I really hope you all are enjoying this podcast. I know I enjoyed doing it. There was so much information that I had to cut it in half. So come back next week and get part two. Do me a favor and subscribe, share, and like. Y'all be blessed.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com apply.